Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of EM Escapades Off Duty, the official podcast of EM Escapades, the comic strip. I am your host, Ben Clincy, and this is now the second take of this podcast. What happened during the first take, you ask? Well, let me tell you. So I did about 3 minutes prior to this, and Max, who we all know is my cat, this is episode 5, I guess, so in the past 4 episodes, you've definitely heard Max. Max was true to himself, flipping out, going crazy, and it normally isn't a problem. You hear him in the background. Sometimes it's loud enough for me to stop the broadcast and go, oh, here he goes. But most of the time, I can kind of ignore it. But today, could not ignore it, because right here next to me in the dining room is his cat tower. Why? Because where his cat tower normally resides, on the opposite side of the house, there is a Christmas tree. So he got pushed out here to the back door, by the back door of the house. And this is where I like to sit and do my podcast. So, yeah. So he's really close. And there's 9 scratching towers. It's a tower and 9 scratching posts. Every pedestal, every post in this thing has scratching post stuff on it. So he flipped out, and I could hear him louder than ever before. I could hear him louder than myself talking in these headphones that I'm wearing. And I couldn't talk. So last week's pot, he was just crotch, going crazy. So I kid you not, as soon as I said, I said, all right, we're going to stop this. We're going to redo this. I hit to end recording. He takes off from the cat tower. That's it. You little shithead. He's trying to steal my show. He is. And I won't have it because this is my house. It's also why I won't leave, because it came out kind of country. I swear I'm from Baltimore. It's my house. I could take my podcast upstairs into the bedroom or go out into the garage where I used to. Well, actually, I don't have a desk or chairs out there anymore. I sit on the dryer. But no, I'm making a stand. This is to prove to him that he can't chase me out of my own house, my own comfort zone. I don't care. We make a stand today, you little orange and white POS piece of shit. He's a good cat. But anyway, so here we are 3 minutes into this episode, and so far, so good. But right now, it's about 7:30 in the morning, so I'm trying to get this done before I go into work for my lovely 9 to 9. And hopefully I can get this recorded. Well, I can get this recorded, but hopefully, if the EMS gods are kind to me, I can get it edited and posted at some point today, and today being Monday, the December 7th. So I hope you are getting ready for your holidays. Like I said, our Christmas tree is up in the corner, and our decorations are on the mantle and everything. So I hope that you are getting ready, or you're still trying to scrape together one. I know it's a rough time. Speaking of rough time, last week's episode, when I was explaining a little bit of my history, even though I wasn't having the roughest time with it this year, you guys, your responses were amazing. I got a ton of responses. And not a ton, but I say a lot. But now, there's a lot of hyperbole involved in things of podcast nature and things of performer nature and things of comedian nature. A lot of times, I'll let you in on a secret. When we say a lot, it's not really a lot. It's maybe 3, maybe 5 at most. When we say a ton, we might have 6. I've been with a ton of women. 6, tops. So there's a lot of that exaggeration, maybe in an effort to make this podcast sound a lot more popular than what it is. Everybody does it. But no, it literally was a lot. It was a lot. I'm telling you, 12 to 15, if not more, of you text me, emailed me, instant message me and all that stuff, or whatever, or direct message me on the things, just telling me how much you enjoy when I discuss things like that, and how that's the only way we're going to break the stigma. One of you said, another person said, that he and his partner were listening to it, and it forced his partner, or it didn't force, but his partner began talking about stuff that was happening with them, and it opened up a dialogue. And another person said, maybe we should do an episode where we all share our stories here in the future. And I agree. I think we may be doing it on the other side of the holidays, because the holidays are rough for a lot of us. Seasonal affective disorder is a real thing. So Maybe on the other side of the holidays, we'll go ahead and do that. Maybe we'll do one about coping mechanisms during coronavirus and stuff like that. How we're trying to stay mentally healthy during this. That's a great one for the future. I need to write that down. And yes, so that's all entirely possible, and I like it. I like all of the possibilities of that. But I mean, a lot of responses, and I thank you all so much for doing so, because it is raw, it's naked, it's feeling exposed, it's feeling vulnerable on this, but you guys make me feel brave. You know, you make me feel like it was a brave thing to do. And a lot of times, sometimes I walk away feeling a little weird about things like that. Not this time. You guys really made me feel great. So thank you. And we're going to go ahead and get into, I don't know if I've said this already, but today's podcast was about, actually, I can't, I got to share with you one thing. Sorry, we're all over the place. My ADHD brain, you're going to have to buckle in and just hang on. No. Yesterday, I had the day off with my family. We got some Christmas decorations up and stuff like that. And we were doing stuff around the house. And I had promised everyone, if they all got together and pitched in and we got this place relatively fixed up, I would treat us to a really great lunch. So we decided to do Chinese food. I thought you said really great. Well, we all agreed upon Chinese food. And so I had to go and pick it up because the place that we like doesn't deliver all the way out here. It's a little too far away. Isn't that the way it always is? The Chinese food restaurants that are within your delivery range just all suck. But the one good one that's usually closer to your work that you discovered one day on a lunch break, you're like, I got to drive all the way to the station, all the way by the station to get. But yeah, it's that good. It really is. And we all liked it. We all enjoyed it. But on the way back, my daughter, Bridget, who she's four. She's wonderful. Okay. Bridget gets out of our family vehicle, the minivan, and goes running up to the screen door. And we have like a glass screen combo storm door. And she's just standing there. And I don't know if she's like looking at her reflection or whatever she's doing, but she's just standing there. And I come walking up and I open the door. And I open it just enough that I think she's going to walk around it. You know, I think she's going to go ahead and just go around and go in. She was like waiting for me to open the door, like she didn't know how to do it. Or she's now a princess again, and she's like, men open the door for women. She has these moments. You know, she's four. She's a different person from one moment to the next. So I come up, and I open the door. And she just walks right into it. Right, I mean, forehead. Right into the corner of the door. And I was just like, what are you doing? Like, I was so shocked that it happened. I couldn't believe that it happened. And then she was like, I couldn't see where I was going. And I was like, did you have your eyes closed? And at that point, I am practically, you know, ready to tear up laughing. Little does any of us know, Carrie, who didn't make the trip with us, I took the kids, you know, to go pick up the Chinese food with me. Carrie is waiting behind the door to scare us when we come in. So, and you know, it doesn't work with me. It pisses her off. I don't jump very easily. Now, I know I've screwed myself because if ever you guys get to meet me at a comedy show one day, I'm going to have to deal with that shit. But I really don't. I mean, I can jump. You know, I have been jumpy at times. But for the most part, I'm not easily scared. Even if I jump, I just jump. I never holler out. I never run. You know, I'm just not a scared, like not a person like that, I guess. I don't know what kind of person that is, but just I'm hard to really startle or hard to really scare. So I tell you that because Carrie was waiting behind the door to scare us. So right after Bridget walks in to the door, she comes in the house and Carrie's behind the door. It's like, ah! Like yells, and Bridget screams. This poor girl, she's got it coming and going. Her dad is laughing at her because she just ran into a door, and then her mom, who has no idea what's going on the other side of this storm door, screams and scares the shit out of her, and she's screaming. Now, I didn't jump, right? And I was just like, did you have your eyes closed? I continue with my whole train of thought because I couldn't. I didn't get scared. Now, Bridget, like, I think she answers me. She's like, yes, you know, I have my eyes closed. And the reason why I can recite this story so well to you is because I have it on the Ring cam. So I'm going to play for you the audio of this very happening, okay? This is no lie, almost verbatim as I said it. This is what happened at 2 o'clock yesterday when we were bringing back lunch. This is what it's like living in the Clincy household. I'm just telling you, okay? Here we go.
I needed tears. What are you doing?
Why?
Did you have your eyes closed?
Did you have your eyes closed?
What's the point to that? You just hear me still going down my line of questioning towards her. And meanwhile, she just got scared by her mother. This is this poor girl. But Benjamin, my first kid, he grew up in the same house with the same parents, and I think he's turned out pretty okay. So I think she's going to be okay. But still, if you want to know what it's like to live in our house, that's what it's like. Dad laughing at you while mom scares you, while dad's still giving you the third degree after you've already been traumatized by the scare. Like, it just was so silly, but I'm so glad I caught it on the Ring cam. I would share the video with you, but she's right at the very bottom of the thing because she's so short, so you can't really see her hit the door. So it just doesn't have the same, like, if more of her head were in the shot and you could see it, it would have been amazing. But the audio, sir, I'm sure you found the audio just as funny as I did. I played it so many times yesterday that I couldn't breathe. I was laughing so hard because it's just that noise, that clunk. She hit that door so hard. Not so hard, but like she hit it, you know? And it sounded, I guess because the door is right next to the Ring cam, it sounded like she walloped the shit out of herself. One more time.
I needed tears. What are you doing? What? Did you have your eyes closed?
Poor girl. It's just so ridiculous. It's just the way it is in our household. So if you ever want to come over and stay a while, be prepared because it's a madhouse and there's always something going on. And I just wanted to share that with you. I thought you guys would get a kick out of that. So let's go ahead and move on to the podcast question. It's going to be a short episode because I did ask what was the strangest thing you found in your pocket after a call. Not a lot of responses, so probably it'll be a shorter episode. We'll just get through these. If you don't know this part of the thing, if you're listening to the podcast for the first time, welcome. Glad to have you. How this works is I have social media pages on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Reddit. You follow EMS Capades, the EMS comic, on any of those services. And on Wednesday, roughly about Wednesday, I post a podcast question for all of you to leave your replies in the comments or direct message me or whatever, and I turn around and read your replies here on the air. Pretty cool, right? So if you want to be a part of the discussion on Monday's podcast, follow me on the social media, look for that question, and reply when it is posted. And it's that simple. And if you don't follow me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or Reddit already, come on. What are you doing? Let's do this. So anyway, what's the strangest thing you found in the uniform pocket after a call? First up over on Facebook, we have Brandon H. Brandon H. said, oh, why did we start off with this one? Brandon H. said, vomit that used to be, oh God, why? All right, I'm going to apologize. There's a couple of these I think are pretty disgusting, and I think some of them are pretty benign. I don't know why we're starting off with this one, but buckle in, kids. It's just the way it's got to be. Over on Facebook, Brandon H. said, vomit that used to be tuna casserole in my cargo pocket. He has an emoji that is that green emoji looking like he's about to be sick emoji. Whew, yeah, that doesn't even sum it up right now. But anyway, he continues. Needless to say, I made a stop at Walmart shortly after to buy some pants to finish the shift. Should have seen the look on the girls' faces in the men's clothing section when I asked her if I could change into the pants and pay for them on the way out. I also asked her to bag my contaminated pants. Yes, I'm a germaphobe. I admit it, and everyone knows it. But then Velvet W, she come in to comment on his and said, I don't think you have to be a germaphobe to appreciate how nasty that is. Pretty sure I'd feel nasty for the rest of the day. So thank you, Brandon, and thank you, Velvet. And yes, that is absolutely disgusting. Like, and the problem is that it already recalls its own unique scent. Does that make sense? Like, tuna casserole. Let's just leave it at that. So when you say vomit, and that, it's not hard to imagine. And now you guys are really turning this off. You're like, fuck this. I'm out. This is disgusting. But yes, the way that you talk it down, like, yeah, you know, I had to put it in a bag because I'm a germaphobe. And no, it's vomit, dude. It's tuna casserole vomit. I don't understand how I wouldn't even have worn it into Walmart. They'd be like, hey, so why are you in a shower curtain? I'm like, it's a long story. I just need pants. Please direct me to the pants. In hindsight, I probably shouldn't have chose a clear shower curtain, but show me to the pants, please. Now, pants. but no, Brandon, you are all right, man. Like, that is a gross story, and it kicked this all off. I can't. I had a feeling when I said the strangest thing was going to lead to a lot of disgusting things, but, you know, I think we're grown-ups. We can handle this. We're in EMS. We have sick humor like that, right? So that being said, Brandon, glad you got it all squared away. I don't know if you clean those pants or burn them. I just don't think I could own those pants anymore, particularly being tuna casserole vomit. So, all right, enough talking about it. All right, moving on. Mike P. said, a pair of dentures after a code. Now, thank you, Mike. I expected that answer a lot. Like, I felt like dentures, dental appliances, partials, retainers. I felt like dental appliances, particularly given that we have to intubate and stuff like that, that probably wound up in a lot of pockets. And I think somebody said it on each service or on the ones that commented. One for each service had said something about dentures, I think. So that is the common one. I was wondering if we would find a common, and we did. So dentures, and I guess I kind of knew that when I wrote the question. I thought that was the worst that it was going to be. I thought that was the baddest that we'd get, but no. Oh, God, no. All right, moving on. thank you, Mike. Shannon O. said, if you haven't had every bodily fluid and then some in your pockets, are you even doing EMS right? Part of me wants to say, yeah, like, you, EMS, we've dealt with some shit, and if we don't have any wacky stuff to tell good stories, one, this podcast part wouldn't exist, and two, it wouldn't be EMS, then, yeah, by that rationale, yeah, but bodily fluid and then some in your pockets? Like, really? Like, how do you get a piss pocket? I mean, I guess if you were carrying a peed and they peed right down your side and right into your pocket. But then how do you get shit? Maybe, I guess, the same way, right? Why did we do this? Why did we walk down this avenue so early? Well, see, okay, it's early in the podcast, but it's early in the morning for me. I'm doing this shit with you prior to breakfast. So maybe that's what I'm thinking, is like my mind is thinking, oh, this is just not the kind of chatter for early in the morning. But this won't be early in the morning for you. Maybe you'll have already settled into your day. Maybe you'll have already run some calls and dealt with some piss shit vomit pockets, and you're going to be okay. So maybe I'm just grossing myself out here, but you guys are loving this. Or maybe not. But thank you, Shannon. Henry C. said, oh, no. Henry C. said, had a stabbing victim once, steak knife to the abdomen. Turns out patient had eaten a salad right before. When I got home, I found a piece of gut lettuce in my pocket. Oh, God. God, no. Ugh. Ah, that's gross as shit. Isn't that worse than vomit? That's worse than vomit because it came out like directly from the source, right? I mean, because I only assume that that's like, you know, it came out of the gut. Like, I mean, if they vomited, then it's vomit. You know, I know it's gross, and particularly what the vomit is made of really, really matters. But gut lettuce. Oh, that's just so disgusting to say. That's so disgusting to think about because, oh, it's gross. I don't even want to elaborate because I don't want to put it in your head like a Kleenex dispenser, like lettuce coming out. I don't want to do it, but I just did it. And because I needed somebody to share this shit that's rattling around in my brain right now that's very disgusting and I need it out. So, like I said, short bunch. That was all the comments that were on Facebook. Twitter had nobody. Doesn't that remind you of some old days on the podcast, on the previous podcast, where Twitter would just have nobody all the time? Even when I was offering top 12 comments and a prize, Twitter was just crickets. Well, some things, they never change. So here we are. But we're going to move on to Instagram. Instagram. Sally C offers up. Sally C says, I avoid putting stuff in my pockets while on calls like the plague. I think the worst I've ever gotten is a used Lancet. Okay. So that's, you know, maybe that's the worst I've had. Maybe at all. I don't know. I'm the guy. Okay. And maybe this speaks to OCD. Maybe I have a touch of OCD because I do this in my regular life too. But I'm the guy who puts everything into one final bag. So like I'll put used things, like I'll put used IV stuff in the plastic that say like the nasal cannula came in, or in the plastic that I always tuck things in, or I gather it all up in my fist and I pull my glove over it and make like a gloved care package. No, I just, that's what I do. And then I'll take that glove and I'll put it inside of another bag and I'll wrap it up and I'll put it in. And I know it's weird, but like that's, or maybe it's not weird. Maybe we all do it. I don't know. I do that. But like, I'm also the guy, like prior to that, when I worked at Best Buy, I would like finish my lunch and I would roll it up and tuck it down into like my V8 bottle. Like, makes it non-recyclable now, so of course I've destroyed the planet, but I had this weird compulsion. I don't do it as much anymore, so I guess maybe it was OCD and now the medication helps, but I tuck things into things. I consolidate all my trash down into the smallest possible package. But yeah, that's what I used to do, and I do it sometimes still to this day, but yeah. I just realized that. Wow. I don't know if you do it too. I don't know if it's an EMS thing, because like I said, I did it before I got into EMS, but that's kind of my thing. I tuck things into things. So yeah, like if I eat a bag of baby carrots and some hummus, a little cup of hummus and various other things, the cup of hummus and this and that and the bag, it all goes into the plastic Ziploc bag that I originally packed the baby carrots in, and I consolidate it up into this one thing and I throw it away. So yeah. I guess that's me. Anyway, sorry. So I probably had a used Lancet in my pocket, but it was probably a part of a greater collection of stuff that was wrapped in two gloves and all that stuff. So I get it. But I try to avoid putting stuff in my pockets. I usually can pack it up and make it a shootable, you know, a shootable ball, like, you know, and I'll still miss the trash can. Alan G. Moving on to Alan G. Believe it or not, money that I No, I didn't put there. What? Alan, you found, Alan G found money in his pocket that he knows he didn't put there. What's the scenario here? Like, how did that happen? Like, you know, we saved the bank robber's life and holy shit, there's a C note in my pocket. Like, are you helping out mob guys? Like, here's a little something for you. Say hi to your mom for me. Like, I don't know. I don't know. Wow, like, that's awesome. That would be, I would be stoked if it were a 50-cent piece. I don't care if it were a freaking dollar bill. I'd be like, wow, like, but when you say, believe it or not, money that I know I didn't put there, we lose our dollars. Those little ones, man, those singles, you know, they find their way into our pockets. We're never really shocked by the singles. You know, like, I'll put on a jacket I haven't worn in a while, and I'll find like a dollar bill in it. I'm like, oh, that must have been from like when I won on that scratch off, and I decided to take my winnings and invest them, and I never did. No, I'm just teasing. So I was just like, yeah, like that ones, sure. I'm used to finding random ones, but for you to notice that it was money that you didn't put there, that's a substantial chunk. You at least found a 10 or a 20, probably, or very least a 5, because five's decent. Just like, I got a $5 bill in my pocket. How did this happen? Like, really? Like, and how did you obtain it? Did you clear it out of an airway and then fucking stash it? Like what in the melee of our job caused you to shove something into your pocket that had money nearby and you didn't notice the money? How much money do you make an hour? Because I notice money. Because I don't have any of it. I work in EMS. Somebody pulls out a $5 bill. I'm like, what is that? Is that a five? A five. So maybe you're just rolling deep, Alan G. But still, that's awesome. And that's a magic trick that I wish you could perfect to where you just save a life and money just comes. And you tell us how you do it. Maybe you discovered something. Maybe David Blaine would like to talk to you. Just save a life. Cha-ching. Oh, that would be great. That would be a great magic trick. Like David Blaine just goes around performing CPR on random people and then just walks away richer and richer each time he does it. Yeah, I took that one little comment really to a level that I was not prepared for. I think we all weren't prepared for it, but look at where the ride got us. Isn't that neat? Moving on, CGK. CGK said, dead patient's dentures. So once again, like I said... Dentures comes up again in another social media site, but this one specifically lets you know that it was a dead patient. Like, dentures from somebody you had to do CPR on doesn't necessarily say, even though we know CPR is not always, you know, going to turn it around. You know, the chips are against you because you never know how long they were down for and, you know, whatever they did, you know, to cause the event. Like, we do CPR with the best hopes. But while early effective CPR can save lives, we just don't know how early we were into early, you know, high quality CPR or high, you know, so that anyway, you know that, we know that. I think I'm doing this for listeners who maybe aren't in EMS and want to get an EMS, just preparing you for the fact that CPR is a wonderful tool that everybody should know. Everybody should know how to do CPR because if done early, it can save a life. But if you wait for us to get there, that's not exactly early. So there we go. I think that's soapboxy enough, right? But getting back to what CGK said, dead patient's dentures. That's awkward because hopefully there's a way you can maybe package them up and kind of sneak them to a nurse and they can put them on a side table. Because if not, if you walk up to the family and you're like, hey, sorry, we did everything we could, and I'm so sorry for your loss. And here's his fake teeth. Just... like those chatter teeth. Like those chattering teeth. You're like, here you go. It's terrible. It's terrible, but we're morbid. We laugh in the face of gross and dangerous and scary and sad and all that stuff. We have to, because we're EMS. But still... It would be terrible if you had to give them back. Like the last, they're so sad because they're like, I'm never going to see him again. And I'm going to miss his physical presence. And oh shit, there's his teeth. Like, you get what I'm saying? Are we tracking together? We're tracking together. And last up on Instagram, Les C said, I'm so vanilla compared to some of y'all. Mine is a toss up between the fuel credit card and the keys to the rig. Yeah, that's common. My partner, the advanced who is on the shift prior to me. I wound up working, like I said, I worked 24 on, 24 off, 24 on, or whatever. I just switched a shift, and that's rough. But when I came on, he was the shift that was relieving me, and he said, oh, I had the fuel card in my pocket. And I made up something. I was like, yeah, well, I planned on not filling it just to pay you back for all the times you leave it near empty on me. So I didn't even notice. And we had a chuckle and he got mad. And no, I'm just joking. He didn't get mad, but we just had a chuckle about it. But he had the fuel card in his pocket. And for days, I guess, if we're on a 24-48 rotation, he had the fuel card in his pocket for like 3 whole days. It just goes to show you how slack some of the people are around my service. They don't even notice that the fuel card is missing. Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty slack. But anyway, sorry. And the keys to the rig, that sucks. I have gone home with the keys and had to go all the way back. And I'm talking about 30 minutes from home. Had to go all the way back to take the keys back. Because it wasn't a truck that I was on the next day. And it started like an hour before me or something, or 2 hours before me. So there was no way that I could just bring them in. And there wasn't a second set of keys for some reason to the rig. Isn't that a bitch? So yeah, I remember that. That was a long time ago. That was like the beginning of my career. That was like 10 years ago. Let's go ahead and we're going to wrap it up on Reddit. Reddit had like 4 comments. And then we're going to go ahead and get out of here. It's going to be a shorter episode. I think we're coming in at about 30 minutes right now. So yeah, so a nice shorter episode. But let's do this. Wrapping it up on Reddit. What is the strangest thing you found in your pocket after a call? MCash114 said, collar to patient's dog. Now, that's all they said. But on the r/EMscapade subreddit, some people will not accept such a small answer. So they pressured him. Backstory. We need a backstory. So MCash114 gave us the backstory. Said, patient dog got out of the house, tried to catch it by the collar, and dog slipped out. Held onto the dog's collar with intention to give it to the patient. Didn't realize it was still in my pocket until I got home from work 8 hours later. But then goes on to say, I did give the collar back, went and dropped it off at the hospital. Very nice of you, MCash. But I can see why you didn't really offer up the backstory. It pretty much is what you would expect from it. But on the subreddit, people, inquiring minds want to know, and they want to know. So if you're going to comment, especially about doggos, man, doggies, puppers, good boys, BOIs, you gotta bring more of the story. I don't think anybody in social media accepts just little statements about dogs. They want to know all about the dogs. So what happened? What kind of dog was it? Did it wag its tail? Was its tail docked? Did it have that little stumpy thing? It was just waving a stumpy thing, and then it slipped out of its collar, and you went, oh, come on, puppers. And the dog was like, ha, 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 and ran off. See, we want to know. We want to know about dogs because, honestly, I've said it before, I'm thankful for dogs on calls because they're like the best thing about it. So, yeah. I would have probably found an excuse to hold on to that collar so that when the person got better and got out of the hospital, I could go back to the house to see the dog again. Yeah, because I love doggies. Anyway, moving on. Not Daniel said, thankfully, I didn't find this in my pocket. Oh, okay. So here we go. Took 45-year-old male patient from Dollar General to the ER for tooth pain. Are you serious? Not Daniel goes on to say, the dude was obviously high on something. My guess is cocaine. When I took the stretcher back to the ambulance, there was a light blue, slightly stretched out pair of boxer briefs with a lovely brown streak staring me right in the face. Put it straight into the BSI bag without second thought. All right. Thank you, Not Daniel. So was the underwear maybe in his back pocket? Like, did he take the underwear? Did he take his pants off? Like, I'm wondering how the underwear got out of, from him to the stretcher. Do you guys dress your patients? Like, I know some services will slip the patient into a gown. Like, they have gowns on the thing, and they will get, like, truly tech the patient. Like, they will get them IV'd, hooked up with electrodes, switched out into a hospital gown, bagged their clothes up for them. So that way, when they go into the hospital, they are just ready to rock. I do know of services or people who have told me that they do that. I don't. And because downtown Charleston or any downtown of like a city or wannabe city, no offense, Charleston, is going to be busy and they always want to put people in the waiting room. So you don't want to gown somebody up just to go sit there bare ass on some cold vinyl. So yeah. So I just, but I'm wondering how that stretched out pair of boxer briefs, how did the underwear get out? How did it, see, that's what I'm guessing. He had it tucked in his back pocket because he was like, I can't wear these shitty drawers. You know, what if I get, you know, my grandmom always said, if you get picked up by an ambulance, you know, and you got to have underwear on, you got to have clean underwear on. You know, you never know if you're going to be in a car accident, right? That's what grandmothers always used to think and say, and maybe your parents do too. So he thought, if I'm going to get, you know, if I'm going to get pulled from the Dollar General for cocaine tooth pain, I can't have dirty underwear on. So we're just going to shove that in the back pocket. Damn, didn't turn out, bud. You tried, though. You tried to honor your grandmother and your mother's kind suggestion. And instead, you left shitty drawers on the stretcher. All right, moving on. The Anti-Fire. The Anti-Fire said, I had the Paragod's notes on my personal note-taking pad. Naturally, he didn't have one and borrowed mine. He took a picture of the notes and stuck it back in my pocket. I was bagging and didn't have a spare hand. I assumed he tossed the page with the patient info, etc. on it, but I guess he wanted me to learn how to take good notes. Oh, so he took down the notes, took a picture of the notes, and you thought he would have ripped the page out, chucked it, but instead he was like, you just keep the notes from this call because this is the way you do it. So you had a paragod partner. So basically not a paragod as in like brand new paramedic who, I have the power! You're talking about just a paramedic partner who lead me to the rock that is higher than I, kind of. I get it. And then they gave us a second story and said another was on a fire call. I had a homeowner's cell phone in my pocket when we got back to the hall. I'd picked it up off the dresser when doing a primary search, room and contents, lots of smoke, small extension into the attic. Turned out that it was a good thing I did. That room got wet from the attic extension. I did get that back to them. So yes, so sometimes it's not a bad thing. Sometimes it's not a weird thing. You accidentally took the patient's cell phone, but you saved it from damage. You saved it. So now they don't have to go through that painful process of texting every single person they know and saying, hey, got a new phone. You know, here's my new number, right? Or they got to turn around and every person who texts them, they got to turn around and go, sorry, new number, who's this? So that all of their friends and family can think that they're full of shit and that they had deleted them out of the phone while being mad at them one day and not that they got a new phone. They didn't get a new phone. They got mad at me because the other day when we were talking about how peanut butter was better than fucking almond butter and they got their feelings hurt and you know they deleted me out and now they're trying to play like, oh, new phone, who's this? Right? I know. All right. And last up. If you listen to the old podcast, there was a person who commented all the time named PM Bubs and Vajayjay. It's my least favorite name. So I tell you that because that name later became PM Bs and V. And that's what it'll be from here on out. Because I don't like that name. But apparently, neither does PM Bs and V because they got the name because they lost a bet. So that's why they have the name on Reddit, because they lost a bet and they had to keep it for like a year or two or something, or until they lost their virginity. I don't know what the whole story was, but they have a story to share and I think they're back in full force. So get ready for some PM Bs and V. But PM Bs and V said cocaine that a patient had slipped in my pocket. Found it when we were handing over the nurses, so I gave it to them. So basically, like the dollar bill thing, could have been a little mafia action. Like, hey, thanks for the ride. Here's a little something for you. You know, a little cocaine. Bam. Not saying every mobster dealt with cocaine, but there was a lot of shitty shit going on back in the mafia things. So, yeah. Maybe it had slipped in my pocket is a little suspect, though. Like, how did it just, patient had slipped it in your pocket? Oh, never mind. I was going to blame you, PMBs and V, for boosting it. But no, I think if that person didn't want to get caught with it, they would kind of just like bail it right into the pocket. Boom. I don't do drugs. Okay, I get it. I get it. Okay, I'm on. I got it. Yeah, yeah. I found drugs in a patient's pocket, or I found drugs on a patient. It was in their sock. They had their whole setup in their sock. And so when I cut their pant leg for the trauma for the car accident, just this bulge in the sock. And there was just drugs all in it. Like just drugs and needle, you know, capped and everything, brand new needle in the packaging and everything. But I saw it and, like, you know, peeled the sock down, didn't touch any of it. And when I took him to the hospital, I was like, hey, look, he's got drugs in this sock here. And they're like, well, what do you want me to do with it? I'm like, what? They're like, well, can't you throw it away? I'm like, no. Like, no. Where am I going to throw it away at? In the rig? Like, where am I going to dispose of it at? Like, and then I have drugs. I have drugs in the rig, like street drugs. And they were like, well, what do you want us to do with it? I'm like, I was trying not to get fired when I did it, but I was trying to be like, you've never dealt with this in an ER? You have never found illegal drugs on somebody and didn't know. I was dumbfounded as to why we were having this discussion and why it was being put off. Like, did you want me to get fired or something? Did you want me to go, oh, okay, well, yeah, I'll take it back. And then you go, security, that ambulance driver has drugs on him. Just go ahead and tackle him down to the ground, grind his face into the concrete, because he gave me attitude like 3 weeks ago and I really want his face to look like meat pizza. So I wonder. But yeah, so if you ever have drugs on you and you want to go to this hospital, don't worry. They're real cool with it. They don't do anything but package it up in the patient belongings bag and send it back with you, apparently, because they have no idea what to do with it. So I won't give out the actual hospital. I'll just say some Catholic saint name. Do you guys like that comic strip? Awesome, right? So yes. So speaking of the comic strip, examining my strips over there on emscapades.com. Please check that out. That's Tuesday through Friday. Thank you, though. A lot of your answers, some of them disgusting, some of them kind of funny. I hope you enjoyed them as much as I did. I hope that they find you at a moment when you haven't just eaten or while you're eating, because some of them, some of them turn your stomach. So I apologize again. And if you want to, please play this episode for your partner while they're eating so you can enjoy watching them feel how you probably felt. You know, it's a gift. It's a gift for the holidays. But we're going to end that on this note, end this on that note, however you want to say it. But I want to thank everyone who commented, and thank you for listening to the podcast. I seriously can't do this without you. And if you haven't commented and want to be a part of it, once again, follow me on the social media pages, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Reddit. Comment on Wednesday when the podcast question is posted, and I will read your things here on Monday and the following Monday, and reply in pretty much all the stuff that you just heard. And if you haven't already, you can also subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, and pretty much anywhere that podcasts are found. And you can always listen, of course, over on emscapades.com, the official site of EMScapades, is the podcast and comic strip, off-duty podcast. And you can, there's Examining My Strips, which is a comic series that tells the story behind my strips that you have already read. And yeah, and the podcast can post there every Monday. There's also a shop. There's emscapades.com/shop, where there are the books, t-shirts, beanies, everything there is nothing over $25. Everything there is under $25. So I hope you go over there and find something you like. Also, please be sure to stop over at Amazon Prime and check out the newest book, EMScapades Forever. That is the fifth book. For now, the final book, but never say never. And that's it, right? Yes, $9.95 on Amazon Prime. EMScapades Forever, the newest book. And I think that's it. Yeah. Well, that was fun. Like I said, hopefully you'll get a chance to hear this soon, and my work is kind enough to me that I can get a chance to edit it and post it to you. And I really, really, really enjoyed this morning. It was fun to have a laugh. Felt disgusting at times and goofy, and I felt like I was in a fun mood, and I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. It was kind of a hyper ride, but hey, 45 minutes of fun is better than none. So I hope you have a wonderful shift if you're about to go on a shift, or if you're coming off a shift, I hope you have a great nap. And if you're like me and you're going on to a 24, let's just get through this, guys. We can do it. But in the meantime, please be careful out there. Stay safe. And as always, I love you guys. Bye.